It's the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. How do our cells, genes, and synapses all work in concert to develop and grow into who we are today? UW-Madison scientists are building an atlas of the prenatal brain for people with Down syndrome to learn how an extra copy of a chromosome leads to biological differences in brain development. Your calls, comments, and questions are welcome here at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest, Anita Bhattacharya, is an associate professor of cell and regenerative biology at UW-Madison and an investigator at the Weissman Center. Anita, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, your research is aimed at building this atlas of the prenatal brain with Down syndrome. Could you explain why you're trying to map these brains?
Sure. So we know a lot about people with Down syndrome. We know about their strengths and weaknesses, but we don't have a good picture of how their brains are formed to make them different. And so that is the goal of what we're trying to do, is try and understand what's different about how brains develop, as you said, when they have an extra chromosome that causes Down syndrome. The other reason we wanted to do this is that many of our studies and studies of other people rely on the use of human stem cells. So these are stem cells that we derive from people with Down syndrome, from skin or blood cells, and we convert them to stem cells. And then we can then take those stem cells and turn them into brain cells as a way to understand, again, what is different. And we would like to have some validation that the differences we see with the stem cells actually relate to reality, and so what's really happening in the brain.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that Down syndrome is the most common chromosomal condition diagnosed in the U.S. And you said there's a lot we do know about the biology of Down syndrome. What is different in the brains of people with Down syndrome, Anita?
So that's what we're trying to find out. You're right. We do know a lot about people with Down syndrome, after they're born. But the brain, all of our brains develop mostly before birth. And so we're trying to figure out what is different.
And how exactly are you trying to create this atlas of the prenatal brain? What does that look like? Is it a roadmap? Is it three-dimensional?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're still trying to figure out how best to make a picture of it. So what we are doing is we are collecting prenatal brain from brain banks, both of control and those tissue that has trisomy 21 or Down syndrome. And then we're doing a couple things. One is we're looking at the differences in gene expression between the unaffected and Down syndrome brains to identify gene expression changes or differences in how the brain develops based on when genes are turned on or off. And then we're also looking at the cells themselves to ask how the neurons might be different, the brain cells might be different.
Anita Bhattacharya joining us from the UW-Madison Weissman Center. We're talking about new research of Down syndrome with our guest, and we invite your questions at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. What are the ramifications of this research? What could we see this used for in the future? What's the possibilities here as your work continues?
Yeah, well, what we hope, the first goal really is to provide foundational information that we and other researchers can build on. But ultimately, I guess what we would like to provide is by knowing the differences in brain development and Down syndrome, it might allow clinicians or families to better understand how the differences in behavior occur and maybe take advantage of the strengths and weaknesses a little more. So for example, if what we find is that parts of the Down syndrome brain are smaller or weaker or don't work as well, then we would try and develop therapies, whether those are behavioral, potentially drug, that's not really what we're thinking about, that maybe avoid that area or strengthen another area. So we think that just having a basic understanding could help with more intelligently designing therapy because, as most people know, people with Down syndrome have a lot of strengths and their IQs can be quite high. And we would like to try and improve their cognitive ability, even just a little bit, so that they can live more independently.
So this isn't about genetically editing out Down syndrome. This is about better understanding the development through Down syndrome.
Yeah, that's correct. We are not doing gene editing. We're not trying to cure Down syndrome or fix the extra chromosome. That's really something that I think is not possible at the moment because the extra chromosome is there from the beginning, from not long after the embryo starts to develop.
Anita Bhattacharya joining us from UW-Madison's Waisman Center. And your research also uses fetal tissue from elective abortions. Why use this tissue? What's important about this tissue that works in the lab?
Yeah, well, it really is the only way to understand prenatal brain development, whether it's in Down syndrome or really any, even just normal human brain development. So, as I said, our brains develop primarily, they form before birth. And so the fetal tissue provides us a window into this brain formation, and that really cannot be replaced with other ways, not animal models, and tissue from adults is not the same. It's already developed. So the dynamic processes are happening prenatally.
So without this fetal tissue, there would be no, it would be impossible to do your research.
Yes, we do take advantage of using human stem cells that, as I mentioned, we derive from people, from skin or blood cells of people with Down syndrome and anybody else. But we don't know if the differences that we see are real or if there's something that just happened because we're growing these cells in a dish. And so we need some validation.
It was a few years ago now, about 5 years, I think, Wisconsin Republicans looked to ban the use of aborted fetal tissue for research or any other purposes for that matter. That I would imagine would have impacted your research. And what do you see as some of the most common myths about the way scientists use this fetal tissue?
Yeah, certainly that would have not enabled this research at all. I think one of the common myths is that as researchers, we go to hospitals or abortion clinics and try and convince women to have abortions so that they can donate the tissue for research. And in fact, that doesn't happen. We obtain our fetal tissue from federally funded tissue banks. There is a separation between the research we do and the abortion itself. So we're not involved in that process. So that's one myth. I think another myth is that we're paying for fetal tissue, which we don't because that is not legal and it is violates the regulations set down at the federal level and also at the university level.
Anita Bhattacharya is an associate professor of cell and regenerative biology at UW-Madison and an investigator at the Waisman Center. And we're taking a look at the development of the human brain and how the research at the UW-Madison is looking at how people with Down syndrome's brains develop and how that research could lead to advances in the future for all of us. If you have questions or comments about this research, we welcome you to our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and UW-Madison's Waisman Center is currently researching how the genetics of Down syndrome can disrupt development and change the brain before birth. Our guest, Anita Bhattacharya, is an associate professor of cell and regenerative biology at UW-Madison and an investigator at the Waisman Center. We invite you to the conversation as well with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234. 642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. And Anita, obtaining federal funding for research projects using fetal tissue was made more difficult under former President Donald Trump. And it was 2021 those restrictions were removed under the Biden administration. The health news website Stat reports that federal funding of studies relying on fetal tissue has yet to fully recover. What are you seeing in your research when it comes to funding this work?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are, you know, obviously we are funded to do this work, and we have not seen really barriers to doing this kind of research, at least going forward in the short term. I think maybe the decrease in funding may come from people or researchers who are hesitant to do the research, because at the federal level, we can still do it. Of course, there are specific guidelines and regulations that need to be followed, but at the moment, the federal government is still funding this kind of research.
To be clear, why would researchers hesitate to do this research?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, this using prenatal tissue is ethically controversial. Some people don't agree with the use of this kind of tissue. And so I think some researchers are worried about the climate or the controversy at their institution, or are worried, may not be well informed about the regulations that they need to conform to, which are not unreasonable. The kind of regulations really just include that the tissue is obtained through informed consent.
Do you share any of those worries, Anita?
I feel that what we're doing it the best way we can, and we are following all the regulations and both what we have to do, but also ethical concerns. I mean, I feel very strongly that the work we're doing has value, and that because, as I said, there is no other way to do this, I think it's reasonable to do it, given and doing it the way we are doing it.
Anita Bhattacharya, Associate Professor of Cell and Regenerative Biology at UW-Madison, as well as an investigator at the Waisman Center. What's the timeline of your research look like? Where are you now in this process of creating an atlas of the prenatal brain for Down syndrome? And what's the timeline look like going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, you ask any researcher how things are going, and they'll always say it's much slower than they would hope. And that is true for this project as well. We started this project almost 3 years ago, that we got funding about 2.5 years ago. And it took us some time to assemble the team, the people, the graduate students, the postdocs to carry out the work, and also to make sure that we had all of the prenatal and postnatal tissue that we needed. And so we are just starting now to have data from our atlas, or the first data from our atlas. And so we're hoping to have all the data this year. And then it will probably take us another 6 months to year to put it in a package that we can publish and get out to the rest of the research field. So we're hoping to have a lot to offer in the next year or two.
And Anita, I would imagine creating an atlas of the human brain would be a lot of data to collect. Does artificial intelligence play a role in assessing this data? Have you used AI yet in your work or research, or do you see that coming?
Yeah, so I personally have not, but I'm not the person who does all the data crunching. We have a team of bioinformaticists who work on that, and I know that they do some machine learning, and I know that we consider the use of AI, but we haven't gotten to that point with our data yet. If we do, I think it will be a discussion about how much AI to use, how to use it, whether that's the best way, but we're not quite there yet.
Anita Bhattacharya joining us, Associate Professor of Cell and Regenerative Biology at UW-Madison, as well as an investigator at the Waisman Center, looking at the research ongoing right now into creating an atlas of the prenatal brain of people with Down syndrome. And we welcome your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. So, Anita, if I were to walk into the lab on a given busy day there, could you give me an idea of what the work looks like on a day-to-day basis, or where you're at right now, and what the untrained eye would see going on?
Yeah, so in most of our labs, because this is a group of four researchers working on this, in most of our labs, you would see a lot of students and postdocs who are working in on cell culture, so on the stem cells themselves. Because as I said, what we're trying to use this Human Atlas for is to compare it to, or sorry, to validate our stem cell data with the tissue, prenatal tissue data. And so most of the people who work in the lab are actually working on the stem cells. We have one lab or one set of people who are working on the prenatal tissue. And so it's a lot of students, postdocs, young people, undergraduates, who are, again, have working with cells in a dish, sometimes these three-dimensional cells that look like little balls of cells. And then we also have people who are doing the analysis of those. So taking those cells and isolating the DNA or RNA and looking at that. And then we have a team of bioinformaticists who are taking the data that we get and crunching it on their computers. And I don't know really how they're doing. That's why we have a team,
right?
Because everyone has their own expertise, and that's not mine.
Well, in total, then, how many people are working at this on this research at the Waisman Center, Anita?
Yeah, so we have four labs that are working on it, and I would say it's probably close to 15, 20 people are working on it in some form of another, either working on the prenatal tissue atlas or working on the stem cell that we want to validate, or working on projects that have already begun to become offshoots of the project. So if we have a little data already, that leads to one story, one hypothesis. So we also have some offshoots of the main data that we're working on.
Yeah, very interesting. I'd imagine, as in any research, you start coming up with more questions the more you look for answers. Are there more questions that you have found? Are there offshoots of this research that you intend to investigate, Anita?
Yes, we anticipate that once we have really analyzed our data, as I said, in the coming year, that we'll have enough new questions for all of us for the rest of our careers. and for you know, other people in the field. You know, we're not the only ones working on this. And actually, the field of Down syndrome research is fairly small. And so one thing that I really hope is that by providing this data, other people, other researchers who may not have been working on Down syndrome might find their niche or their story or their hypotheses that they want to test.
So your research into Down syndrome, at least in your hope, would lead to further research in Down syndrome and broadening the field a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one area that is getting a lot of attention now in Down syndrome research is the fact that people with Down syndrome are at a very high risk for developing Alzheimer's disease, and they will do so in middle age as opposed to in the general population. And so I think it's possible that some of our data or our work might indicate that there are processes that are happening even as early as prenatally that might inform us to the risk of Alzheimer's disease. Because it happens so much earlier in individuals with Down syndrome.
Wow. So this may lead to your research into Down syndrome and the development of prenatal brains could lead into the possibility of other further research into the root causes of Alzheimer's in this country?
I think it's possible. We'll have to see what the data
says. That's the way research works. You go where the science leads you and what the data says. And Anita Bhattacharya, I want to thank you for sharing what's happening in your lab with us this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Anita Bhattacharya is an associate professor of cell and regenerative biology at UW-Madison, as well as an investigator at the Waisman Center, where they are currently researching the development of prenatal brains for people with Down syndrome and creating an atlas of that brain with data expected later this year and the research ongoing in our backyard. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.